Welcome to Out of Focus. I'm your host, Shannon Stewart. Today's guest is someone who's known me through some of my highest highs and lowest lows. I won't give away too much yet, but let's just say they've seen the behind the scenes grace at work in my life. Welcome, Mother.
Glad to be here, Shannon.
Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
I think you are the closest thing to a Proverbs 31 woman that I have ever met in my entire life. You've been such a great example to me throughout my entire life of what it means to love Jesus, to serve him, to love other people, and to live it out. And the first question I would like to ask you is, can you remember a time in your life when you were out of focus?
First of all, I want to give the Lord glory because God knows what I would have been if I didn't give my life to him many years ago. I want to preface something with out of focus. You know, every day we wake up, all of us, we wake up to a battle. We've got a body of flesh, which is carnal desires. And every one of us has different desires that oppose God's commandments. Every one of us. So we go up to that voice. And then we go up to our own heart. And God says that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it but I, the Lord? I search the heart and know the mind and give everyone according to their deeds. So then we wake up to an enemy within our own heart that lies to us. And then we wake up to the persuasions and the insinuations of the evil one, just like with Eve in the garden. What did he say? Does God really mean that? And he does that to us as well. And then we wake up to a world that's filled with contrary philosophy that goes immediately against Christ's truth. And then we wake up to even some churches, the body of Christ believers, that are not preaching according to God's word. So we wake up with this war zone each and every day. And as Paul said in Romans, Christ Jesus is our only hope. So when you ask me, tell me a time when I've been out of focus, how about every day? Because if my mind isn't fixed and set on being grateful and thankful and focused on what the Spirit's leading me to do, I'm out of focus. So today, coming here, driving with your dad in the car, be driving, guess what? I had some out of focus time that the Spirit had to get my mind wired. So now we're going to get through this. Yeah, because sometimes he doesn't like my driving.
And I know how much you love being on camera and being on TV or being in the spotlight. I don't know. I guess I got that from Dad, because I know you're one that shies away. You don't like to be like on a stage, or you constantly are giving Jesus the credit and the glory. And I just love that about you.
Out of focus. I was out of focus about getting on out of focus.
But hey,
I didn't want to get on.
Doesn't God try to take us out of our comfort zones and to grow us and to shape us and mold us? And because he's trying to stretch us so we can become more like him. And when you feel uncomfortable, what do you have to do? You have to rely on his strength, his wisdom, his power, his spirit. So
yes, you do.
Yes.
You're exactly right. So that's why I'm here today.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you for the honor.
My next question is, were you raised in the church? How did you come to know the Lord?
I was raised in the church. And I had a precious parents that had an unusual circumstance. My mom was Catholic and my dad was not. So she asked my dad before they got married if he would agree for her raising the children that she was going to have. She wanted to be a mom and a homemaker, Catholic. And he agreed. And he kept his word for all the years. He took us all to church. My mom didn't drive after she was 17 because she had an accident.
Wow.
So she didn't drive. And so my dad would take us all. And so he kept his word on that. So I was raised in a very devout Catholic home by my mom being the leader. And it was very Roman. So the Pope, quote, was like the voice of God. Mm. So whatever he said, that's what we were to obey. And then the priests, the ecclesia, they were right under him. So it was very much man-centered. And then the Bible wasn't really even discussed. I didn't really understand that there even was a Bible, to be quite honest with you, growing up. My mom prayed. She prayed the rosary. We saw that often. We prayed the prayers for over dinner. Bless us, O Lord, for these I guess, which you're about to receive from my bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. Very faithful. So I had a very loving, religious mom that I thank the Lord for, because I learned a lot from my Catholic upbringing. One, you probably know that I think Sunday to go to church is, there's no quote ifs, ands, buts about it.
I know.
Unless you're dead,
yes,
you're going to church.
I remember we had sports, or if we had a game, you said, no, we're going to church. So you were very disciplined. And so when I grew older, it wasn't like I had to think about it. It was a habit for me because I was so used to doing it. It was like, just like going to work, or every morning I eat breakfast. It's like you become used to it, or just something that I was committed to do. It was a discipline for me.
Yes, yes. Yes. So I learned that in my upbringing. And then also I went to a Catholic school for 8 years and I had wonderful teachers, met some great nuns. I even cleaned the church's rectory.
Wow.
Volunteered to do that. So my upbringing was very religious. However, I believed in God, but I didn't know him. And I didn't understand through all my upbringing, the gospel. Now, I know there's many Catholics out there that are Christians. I just happen not to be one.
Mm.
I don't know. I just didn't get the message. I didn't understand that I needed to repent of my sins. I didn't know that I needed to ask Jesus to forgive me and that I truly could be forgiven and that his spirit would actually come and live in me through the regeneration of that talks about in Titus. I didn't know any of that. So a couple New Year's Eve days, I was at Mass and I was hungover because I went out and party with my husband. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, God, I know you're out there. Please show me how to get a hold of you. And I meant it, but I didn't know how to get a hold of you.
So what shifted? How did you get to know him as your Savior and Lord?
So I had the American dream in my mind, everything that I wanted to do, basically in my bucket list. I married the man of my dreams. I loved him deeply, the only man I really ever loved.
Hmm.
And then I had two beautiful daughters and I had a home and 2-car garage, the American dream. And then I worked for the number one company at that time, General Motors, in materials management. So I had all this and inside I was becoming broken. And one of the big things, which I don't fault your father for at all, is I thought that he would be able to meet my emotional needs. And so when he wasn't able to meet my emotional needs, the brokenness got even more. Now, no one could see it on the outside because I performed, went to work, did the stuff at home, but inside, God knew. So while I was at work one day, I was going checking some parts on the other side of the plant, and there was a man there, and it was a Bay City, and basically they hung backing plates on this wheel, this like a merry-go-round, and they get clean. And he had this hat on and it had a cross on it and he was singing and he caught my eye and I'm like, what is this guy singing now? I mean, this place looks like a prison. It's got the windows clear at the top and it's dark and dingy. And I'm like, I gotta go find out. So I went over there and I said, excuse me, sir, can I ask you something? He goes, sure. And he's got the clothes on that they give you because at the plant to where they look like prison clothes, but then you can take them off, not get your clothes ruined. And so I said, why are you so happy? He goes, I'm so glad you asked. He goes, Jesus. I go, Jesus. He goes, yes, Jesus. So what do you mean? He goes, Jesus is my Savior. I said, what? So I walked by there the next few months. And I would talk to him. And then one day he invited me to a Bible study. I said, what kind of Bible study is it? He goes, oh, it's non-denominational. Oh, okay. He goes, would you like to come? And I go, yes, I would. So I'm like, wow, I'm kind of excited about going to a Bible study. I've never been to one. So then I told Rick, my husband, and he said, I'm going to check this out before you go.
I can see him doing that.
I don't know if there's kooks or not.
So yeah.
He went to this Bible study and he comes back and he goes, those people are so nice. Sure. You go to that Bible study.
Did he join you?
No.
Okay.
So I went to the Bible study, started going on Mondays. And then now you and your sister were taken to church each Sunday by me to the Catholic church. Your dad didn't go. As my mom got agreement from my dad, I got agreement from your dad, because your dad was not Catholic. He wasn't anything, just like my dad wasn't. And he agreed that I could raise you Catholic. So there was no problem with me taking the Catholic church. So that's how we were at the house. So I took you guys to church, and then he said, whatever. So this Bible study was on Monday nights, and he supported me. I went, and then I started seeing things in the Bible that I'd never seen before, because I'd never seen the Bible. And I'm like, the first Bible study, I didn't know where anything was. So if anybody is out there and intimidated by not knowing what's in the Bible, don't worry about it. Just go, just be open and receptive to whatever God wants to teach you. And just let the Lord teach you through his Spirit in due time the things he wants you to know. So it was intimidating, because they're asking me to find different books. I'm like, what is that? And my Bible didn't have any indexes, so I was like stunned.
That would be flipping, trying to throw the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the Bible study teacher, God gave him grace for me. He'd say, now we're going to wait till you find it, because I bought my big Catholic Bible that was never opened the house. I didn't know we were supposed to read it, just, you know, kind of like a collection. So they were really patient. And each week I started learning more and more. But the big thing I really learned was that on the pages of the Bible, the words lifted up and they became real in my mind. God says his words are spirit and life in John 6:63. And the Bible became the voice of God to me. And in those Bible studies, I felt the love of God reaching out to me. And I actually truly fell in love with the Lord. It's like, oh my gosh. And so one night while I was at home by myself, you guys were in bed, your dad was out, the Spirit just moved on me and just asked me, do you want me? And I'm like, want you? Are you kidding me? You are what I want with everything within me. So that night was the night that I repented of my sins, which I already knew was a sinner. That was obvious to me. And I yielded my will to the Lord. And there's the key. You can say a sinner's prayer, but you have to yield your will to the Lord. And when you yield your will to the Lord and make him Lord, his Spirit comes in and gives you an absolute incredible invasion of life. And you can truly become a new creation in Christ. Now, there's only one problem. Your dad, he didn't want this new creation in Christ.
Did his mom die? And that is that what started your search?
Well, his mom.
A little bit. You started wondering, like.
That's later.
Later.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So he wasn't exactly thrilled with the changes, because I was emerging to become what God wanted me to become. My standards were changing. What I would do and what I would not do is changing. And so for a time, he said, you know what? You're not going to that Bible study anymore. He goes, these people are changing you. So I went in the bedroom and I said, Lord, what do I do? He says, I can't go to this Bible study. Do I battle or just say yes? And the Lord's just like, just say yes. He's not going. So I went out to him and I said, you know what? I won't go. And he's like, really? Because he was expecting a battle. So I didn't go. However, the Lord had a plan. On Monday nights, after you guys got to bed, I'd go in my bedroom, our bedroom, and I'd have my own Bible study. So on Monday nights, he'd go in there and look. He'd say, what are you doing? I said, I can't go to Bible study. I'm having my Bible study here. So after several months of that, or a few months of that, he said, you know what? You can go back to Bible study. And then with madness, he says, it's not that. Those people. It's that Bible that's changing you. So I said, it is. Truth is changing me. So that began my journey with the Lord. So what I did initially, the Bible study wasn't enough. I wanted more truth. So then I found out there's a Sunday school class at church. Oh my God. So I went to the Sunday school class, which I absolutely loved. And then I'd come back and get you guys and take you to Mass, church. And then after a while, I was there one day, one Sunday, and I heard some of the service. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's more of the word in there being preached and taught. So I went ahead and planned to go to a service, and I did. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this service is incredible. So I got to hear more. So Sunday school and the service. So then I had to make a decision. And I felt deep in my spirit that the Lord was drawing me to that, to grow. So I made a decision. I was going to not go to the Catholic Church anymore and put my time and investment in more of the word being preached and taught, because I was hungry to know. And that did not suit well with my parents and my family. And I want to make a statement. I love my parents. Mm-hmm. I wanted to please them. I wanted to honor them. I treasured them. And I treasured my brothers that I was given from the Lord. But I love the Lord more. That I had to come to that decision. Do you love me and want to obey me? Or do you want to do what your family would like to do? And I felt like the Lord was calling me out to go in faith and say, no, Lord, I'm going to go your path. I want to know you. And so my mom was very upset. I crushed her. And I didn't like it at all, because my mom had felt like she was a failure. Because in her mind, we were raised that through the Catholic Church and going to the sacraments, that secured for you your place in God, in his family. You were expecting purgatory, and then you would work off whatever the Lord wanted to perfect in you, and then you would be purified to go to heaven. Only the saints, the very, very chosen few, could ever go from earth to heaven. So my mom felt like she failed me, failed God, because I wasn't going to the Catholic Church, and that was crushing. That really was crushing. And then my dad, who wasn't even Catholic, called me up and said, how could you do this to your mom? Hmm. So it was a very hard initial walk to come after the Lord when you know you're crushing your family. And there's many people out there
that would be hard,
that have to make a decision to look at the precious ones in many different religions, that if they, quote, commit to Christ, they're disowned. Now, I wasn't disowned, but I was definitely felt like the black sheep, because I wasn't, quote, you know, one of them. And so through the years, the Lord kept growing me and growing me and growing me. And my mom and my dad came to know the Lord. And what's so cool is that God took the crushing that I did to them, which he knew I hated, the crushing, but he used that path to grow me in the word, because there's nothing like the word of God, nothing. The word of God is transforming. And when the Spirit witnesses to me personally, this is going to be the foundation of your faith, the word of God, this, the scriptures, not the Pope, not a quote church, but my word. And I do know that the word is written with allegories. It's written with poetic verbiage.
Parables.
So you can't take everything, quote, for literal. Mm-hmm. But the main tenets of my faith was going to be in the word. So I thank the Lord for giving me the courage, because through that experience of growth, my mom in her late 80s, my dad in his late 80s, they came to know the Lord. It's phenomenal. Do you want me to share how they came or no?
Sure. I also have another question.
Yes, go ahead.
How do you know, for people that are skeptical, that how do you know that there's a God? You can't see him. So how do you know? I know how I know he's real, because I've met him personally. Yes. Outside of the elementary school when I was in sixth grade. There's different times where I've had an encounter with his spirit and with his presence, and he's made himself known. And I know that undeniably. So what would you say to the people to say, well, how do you know? You've read the Bible, it's grown you, but like, how do you know he's real?
That's an awesome question, because remember those 2 years in a row, I'd said, God, you got to be out there somewhere. But you should please reveal yourself to me that you're real. That is a question that only God can answer for each one of us. The Bible says that each one of us is given a measure of faith sufficient to believe in. And sometime during our life, there will be instances where the Lord's Spirit will witness to us the gift of repentance The gift of repentance has to come for us to be able to change our mind. And in the gift of repentance, what is needed is a broken spirit and a contrite heart, one that's sorrowful, realizing I'm a sinner, and one that's willing to surrender to the Lord. Now, I don't know when that happens for each one of us, but the Lord doesn't allow one person to ever be born in this life that he doesn't manifest his presence and his truth to.
I've gotten asked that question. Like, what about the people in Africa that don't have television or that can't go to church because there's a verse that says he makes himself known through creation, so that no one is without excuse.
Romans 1. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's phenomenal.
And if it also says that when we seek him with all of our heart, we will find him. And as I've heard you say, you were on a hunt to find Jesus.
Yes.
You searched for him.
Yes.
And you sought him out, and he made himself known to you because he can't lie. So whatever he says in his word, it's true.
Yes. And one key in all that is that God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So when you do seek the Lord, you do want to say with humility, Lord, our God, I don't even know if I believe in you. But if you are real, I ask you to make yourself known. There's a young girl right now that is struggling deeply, and she's been raised in a cultish environment. And so I just looked at her. Here's my suggestion. Just each day, ask God to reveal who Jesus is, the real Jesus. Ask him. He will.
Because everyone's searching for something. Yes. They're searching for fulfillment. They think money or their job, or if they make this kind of status, or how much money in their bank account, or if they have whatever it may be. And what they're really searching for is Jesus, their creator, because without him, they're always going to have a void in their life because it was meant just for him.
Yes. The scriptures tell us that we're complete in him.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can be filled with an insatiable appetite for fun. But then
YOLO. You only live once. Live it up. Come on. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. That's like the mentality in our culture. But what does Jesus say? You know,
only one life to live will soon be passed, and only what's done in Christ will last.
Mm-hmm.
The unknown author.
Yes. I love that.
Yes. So the journey to know God, the Lord is hunting us.
Pursuing us constantly.
We're just responding. He gives out the invitation of repentance to awaken us to consider, wow, I'm a sinner. I need a savior. I need some deliverance here. I'm not whole. Something's wrong. And then if we turn our heart and respond, the Lord gives more and more. And it's incredible how he just draws us unto himself. I mean, look at me. I had the form of religion, but I had no understanding at all of the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that there's not Catholics out there that don't know the gospel. I want to be sure that you precious ones know that. This is not bashing Catholics at all. This is just to say for me. I
didn't. A lot of people are so busy. They have a lot going on. Maybe they're a student in school and they're working, or they have kids and they have a job. How do you make time for Jesus? What is exactly do you do to grow in your faith and to spend time with him? Because a lot of people say, well, I just don't have time.
The only response that I can give is that everyone has 24 hours and we can choose to spend it how we want. And I worked a full-time job, 30 years at GM in Delphi. And the Lord had Rick work with me to pick you guys up and back. But there was always a way for me to be able to get some time with the Lord in prayer and in the word. And I'm not saying it has to be long. For example, if you just get 10 verses and just kind of start thinking about those verses, it's refreshing.
Well, my favorite is I was hoping you would tell the story of where you lock yourself in your room in the morning. You will not take a call. Your phone is off. Your door is locked. And you have carved out that time where you're going to read the Bible, you're going to pray, you're going to spend time with Jesus before your day starts and gets busy. So I just think that's so cute of you. Because I called Dad. I'm like, Dad, where is she? She's in her room. It's locked. You know what she's doing.
Well, when you guys were young, I was given revelation from the Lord's Spirit, how precious you were. You guys were my eternal gifts from the Lord. I treasured you. The Lord gave me a mother's heart that was all committed to both you and your sister. And I wanted to be a teacher of truth to you guys. I wanted you to have what I didn't have as a child. I wanted you to know God's salvation. I wanted you to know what Jesus can do in your life, what he desires to do in your life. I wanted you to have a solid foundation of truth. Well, in order to get that, I needed to spend time with the Lord, and I needed to be getting ready to be giving you day by day what I felt his Spirit wanted me to give you in truth, because I wanted you guys to also love the Word and the Lord. So the top priority in my life was being God's servant in our home. I had your dad that wasn't yet surrendered to the Lord, and I had you two that I was responsible for. Your eternal souls are in my hand, and there's no greater work to do than to impart that, because I heard a clicking in my mind. The clock's ticking. You only have this amount of time before they leave this home. And I wanted you to be grounded in truth. So beyond my desire to please the Lord, I had to have from him time with him in his word each and every day to be sustained, first of all. And then I wanted him to fill me that I might be the mom that he wanted me to be with you two, that would love you with passionate truth, that you could grow in your own faith, that when you walked away and left the home to launch your own life, you would have that foundation. I didn't want you to be deceived by anything that was not truth. I wanted you to know the truth.
That leads me to my next question. Why do you pray so much? What is it about prayer? Can prayer move mountains? I mean, I know, but I want you to explain it, because I know you have a gift of intercessory prayer, but I've also been able to see the power of prayer and the investment that it is, because God does hear and he does answer.
Great question. And I was giving you how I read the word and prayed when you were younger, which is bits and pieces here and there. But since there's the emptiness syndrome, I have made a statement to your dad that don't be bothering me. If the door's locked, I'm not ready to greet you yet. And during that time, I know that
leave me alone.
I know that once the door is open, he'll start the day's plannings, et cetera. And I want my time with the Lord secured, because when I wake up in the morning, Jesus is the first one I want to think about. And then he gives me things to pray for before I get up. And then I get to read the word. And then I'm ready to greet people. I'm ready for the day, because I've been kissed by the Lord with his love.
I remember growing up, and now it used to embarrass me when I was in junior high and high school, how we would run into people at the grocery store and they would let you know that they needed prayer. So you didn't care who was around, who saw you. You were not ashamed and you were not embarrassed. You would take them to the side of the aisle and start praying for them right then and there. So in my younger years, that was super embarrassing, because I did care what people thought about me. But as I grew older, I saw how special that was, that you were willing to invest your time and give your time and not care about anything else, because you were so focused on blessing them through your prayer and whatever their need may be. And I get to hear stories today from people that write me saying, well, you know that one time your mom took me over to the side of the grocery store, she saw me at the basketball event. So your prayers have just definitely done so many incredible things that I don't even think you'll realize on this side of heaven.
Well, on a humorous note, you know, the way I was raised with canned prayers. Mm-hmm. I prayed the Our Father and the Hail Mary.
Yeah, the same
thing. Rosary. Right. So there was never any freedom for the Spirit. I didn't know we were supposed to pray anything but that. So then the Lord showed me through the word that you can just call out to him and you can just share your heart. And he wants to do the great things and possible things that you can't even imagine him to be able to do. And I'm like, wow, this is what I want. So then the first time of public prayer before I prayed with anyone, you know how it went?
No, but I got so nervous the first time I got asked to pray. I was like, oh my gosh, because I'm used to hearing your prayers. Your prayers sound so eloquent. You use all these words, you say these verses and throughout the prayer. And I was just so intimidated because I'm like, I can't pray like her. And I'm thinking that, you know, I need to sound a certain type of way or I'm going to embarrass myself. But you kept reminding me that you're just talking to God. You're having a conversation with God.
That's right.
Who cares what you say? It's like that childlike faith.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Well, I was in Sunday school class and the teacher asked me to pray. And I immediately I'm going. So I put my head down and there's a lot of adults in there. And I prayed this prayer to God. And at the end of the prayer, it was like I heard this statement. Who are you praying to? And I was convicted because I really wasn't praying to God. I was embarrassed, first of all, to be called upon because I didn't want anybody to hear me pray. And then the Lord showed me during that first prayer, when you pray to me and don't care what anybody thinks. So it was a great breaking out time. So then the Lord, he gives me this understanding that you don't have because you didn't ask, because you didn't take time to ask. And I'm like, whoa, I don't want that to be said of me. And I say that lovingly and respectfully to the Lord Jesus. I don't want you to have to look down and say, you didn't take time to ask and you could have had it for people and for yourself. So I believe that when we pray to the Lord, it says in the scripture, when we pray according to his word, he hears us. And we have the petitions that we ask for that are what? According to his word, his will. So I want to pray in the love of Christ for people because I want people to have everything God wants them to have. Mm-hmm. Everything. I want them to have the fullness of what he's got planned for them, the fullness of what he's got designed for them. That to me is exciting. So to me, prayer isn't like a drudgery. It's a gift. I get to go without a number, without a pedigree, freely covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ to the throne of our holy God. And I get to make my petitions known to him with thanksgiving. And then I get to leave with the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Now, I do have a caveat I want to say here. There's many things that I've learned about praying. And one thing I learned through great heartache, you don't want to leave praying to the Lord until you have a peace. Because what happened is I've gotten up many times and I prayed to the Lord over circumstances I was very worried about. And then I'd leave and I'd have peace. So I brought God a burden, a worry, a concern, but then I left him with the same worry and concern. So I've had to learn, I've got to tarry before the Lord for him to be able to work in me his grace, to be able to see things from his perspective and to be able to gain his gifting, to be able to trust him with what I'm giving him, that he's going to take care of it. And then you can have that peace which surpasses all understanding. Now, I may lose that peace in the next 3 hours and I may go to the throne again and start praying again for the same thing. There's a parable that Jesus gives in the scriptures about this widow who wanted deliverance from her enemy. And she kept coming to the unjust judge day after day, deliver from my enemy, deliver from my enemy. So that's my mindset about prayer. If God doesn't answer this year, so be it. I'm still asking. 10 years, if I know it's a righteous cause, I'm asking. I've been praying for your dad for many years.
I know.
Still asking. So I have a pursuing heart before the throne of God for the things that the Lord's laid on my heart to bring to him. And I have no intention of stopping.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. Thank you, Mother. We will see you next week. Just remember, when life feels out of focus, there is always one who brings clarity. We'll see you next time.